us as parents because we love them and we know what's best for them, don't we? God knows what's best for us. Did you notice that scripture that I read at the call to worship today, Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's read a lot. It talks about how adults are supposed to teach their children. In fact, it says to impress these things upon your children and to place them, place these commands in their hearts. To place them in their heart. So somehow this ideal of obedience has to get into the heart. We don't want our children just to be robots, do we? Just going through what we've said. They can resist in their hearts, but God says to teach it so that it will become part of their hearts. They want to do. So in our training of our children, we want to be able to train their hearts so that they become, in a sense, like us, knowing what is best, knowing what is good. Well, by the same way, don't you think that's what God wants for us? He wants to train us so that His laws, what His will is in our hearts. Amen? Do you think that's right? So if someone's always talking to you about coming to church, you know that God's command is that you should be in church. You know that God wants you to observe everything that Jesus taught you. So if He's talking about loving your enemies or praying for those that hate you or getting along with people, shouldn't that be part of your heart? That should be. Now, where do we get that type of training? That's the real important thing. And I think sometimes kids don't obey. Why is that? Because they want to do what they want to do. Isn't that right? They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And isn't that the truth with us too? The reason that we don't obey God is because we want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it when we want to do it. So I thought maybe we should look back at some of the Old Testaments and just ask a few of the questions here. Has God always been God and sovereign? He has, hasn't He? When He created everything that's good, He placed our forefathers, Adam and Eve, in a garden, placed a tree there, and what did He say? This is a test. Don't eat of this one. Everything else you can do, but this is a test. And everything is tested by a command, isn't it? And of course, when they disobeyed God, wasn't it because their hearts were led astray? Their hearts were led astray by someone that said, did God tell you not to eat of this tree? Well, God misled you. And God said, if you would do this, well, that won't happen. If you would really disobey God, you could be on your own. You could become like God. And so our hearts were misled. And we rebelled against God. And I think sometimes that's the way our children, when they do what they want to do, and if we allow that to happen, then they do what they want to do in a rebellion sense, sort of like we did in the beginning. So it takes training. I think probably one of the best illustrations of training of one's heart is an Old Testament figure by the name of Abram. And God called him away from his country. And you know the story quite well. The story of Abraham is to obey God. Hebrews says that by faith he obeyed God and left his land. And the story of Genesis tells us that Abram was from a family of people that worshiped all kinds of God, but for some reason God called him and said, I want to create a new nation. I want you to leave your family. I want to leave your kin. I want you to leave your homeland. Now, how hard would that be? In that ancient world, they didn't have maps. He didn't have any plans. He didn't know what was ahead of him. God was asking a great deal of him, but what did Abraham do? He went. Now, we call that the land of promise, but children, what am I going to call this today? The land of obey. So Abraham didn't have a train to go to, but he went to that land where God said, here is your land. This is the land of promise, the land of obey, and I want you to live here, you and your family. Your children and your children's children after you, I give you this land. The only problem is Abram had no children. And so his whole purpose was to learn to obey God, that somehow God could be trusted. Now, back in the land where he came from, there were all kinds of temples where he could see a visible manifestation of God. But God didn't appear to him quite this way, in a different way. And God spoke His will to him and said, I want you to live here in this land, and I will give you a child. But the only thing is that we have to learn is, is that in this particular case, Abram had no children. No children meant that God was promising something. It wasn't just hard, it was impossible. Now, I know sometimes it's difficult for people today to have children, but in Abram's case, it was almost impossible because he was 75 years old and his wife Sarah were up past the age of child-rearing. So God is not just a God who speaks hard things or difficult things. He speaks things that are impossible. And that's what we need to realize about God. When we work with Him in His kingdom, learn to obey Him, it's things that He wants for our good, not what we want. If Abraham had wanted what he wanted, he would have stayed back there in his country knowing what the future holds. But basically, he became unemployed, went down there and lived in this land among enemies. And as soon as he got there, for long, you know what happened? A great famine. So what did Abram do? He said, I'm going to starve to death here. I've got to get down to the breadbasket of the world. I've got to go down to Egypt. I've got to provide for my family. And so he went down there, and you remember this story? He began to get into trouble. He had to tell another lie. This is not my wife. This is my this is my sister. And so Pharaoh down there took a liking to his wife, took her in to be his own, and God had to rescue him from that and send him back to the land of obey. Now, I'm going to call it that because, children, that's what we talked about. And Abraham didn't obey God. He's learning that when you don't obey God, you get into trouble. And so here he's back into the land of obey, and he's learning to depend upon God. And you have these stories where Abram is surrounded by enemies, and they're attacking him, and he's learning to depend upon God. He's learning in his heart that God can be trusted. But the only problem is, every day he gets up and has goat's milk or cheese and drinks his coffee, but there's no son to share all the promises with. So living in the land of obey is very difficult because he has no child. So what does Abraham think? I'm going to have to do things my way. I'm going to have to get this done, and so I'm going to adopt a child by taking Hagar as a wife and having a child that way. And so he does. And so, in essence, Abraham is not depending upon God, and God has to reprove him for that. It's a long story, but Abraham is learning in his heart to do things God's way. For 24 years, he lives in that land, learning more and more that God can be trusted, that God can be depended upon, and will God give him a child? And he does. And you remember the name of that child? Isaac. Finally, he has the child, and then as this child grows up, God tests him one more time. Will you offer this child to me? Will you offer him up as a sacrifice? And the scriptures tell us that Abram reckoned in his mind that God, who had been with him all these years and had fulfilled his promise, was able to raise Isaac from the dead, if that's what God wanted. So this story is about teaching obedience. Now, when we come to the New Testament, Jesus tells us as disciples, we are to teach people to obey. Is that right? That we're to teach people to obey all things that Jesus had to say. And of course, Jesus is the perfect example. But in the idea of teaching us to obey, in this particular scripture that I want us to think about in John chapter 13, when he says, you're my friends if you obey what I command. What comes to your mind when you think of the obedience of Jesus? The commands of Jesus. Well, is it all kinds of commands about church, about scripture reading, about prayer? Is it commands like that? Well, you know, that's important to grow. But you know, probably one of the greatest commands that Jesus talks about is this command to love each other, because they weren't getting along very well. Peter and John and the disciples were having anger issues. They were having a problem getting along and wanting to be great in the kingdom and wanting to be the greatest. And so when Jesus leaves, the greatest commandment that he gives them outside of serving God faithfully is to get along with each other or to love each other. Now that's what we're going to talk about next week, character building lessons, love. But that's the greatest commandment. So a church, more than anything else, needs to be about love and about commitment. So next week that'll be a preview to our lesson. But there's one other guy that I think about when I think about obedience to God. And this man was a great man. He was a very learned man. He read the scriptures. He went to church every Sunday. He learned to obey his parents. And he came from a long line of preachers in the vernacular. And that was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a man that believed in obeying God in everything. And he was very good at it. extremely good at it. So what about this apostle? One day God says, I want you to do something sort of like what I'm doing with Abraham. I want to change your whole life upside down, and I'm going to teach you that the one that you're persecuting, Jesus of Nazareth, is really raised from the dead. Now, Paul didn't believe that. Saul didn't believe that. But now, God has shown him a different way. That all the things that you believed about Jesus were untrue. That Jesus really is raised from the dead. What did Paul do? Did he say no? Or did he say yes? Sort of like Abraham, he had to leave his heritage. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his kin. He had to leave his possessions. He had to leave everything that he'd been taught and learn at the feet of Jesus. So he was a great apostle because he learned or relearned from Jesus what it means to be a disciple. Now, what about you? I'm certain that you know many things about church. You know many things about religion. You have a lot of things about faith. But I think sometimes we have to relearn too. I want you to listen to what Paul said. And I think this is a real key here from the book of Galatians. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I think that's the real key to obedience. Obedience is not just somehow being beaten over the head with the commandments or reading the scriptures and deciding whether we're going to do it or not. It's allowing Christ to come into your heart again so that you, the person that says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it when I want to do it because I am a free person, I'm an adult. Paul said, no, what I'm going to do is to die. And I'm going to become in my heart a servant of Jesus Christ. That means you've learned to obey. Faith is about giving obedience, for which there is no substitute. So the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Richard to make a good confession of Jesus Christ, but we're going to sing an invitation, and maybe you'd like to respond to Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to learn this obedience. And what I hope that you've learned today is going to the land of obey, wherever that is, where God has commanded, is about learning in our hearts to die to self and to say yes to the Lord. Will you stand and respond to the invitation?